I'm a freaking workaholic. I just am. And I can have a heart for it, and I can kind of understand it. And some of it is good and some of it's not. I mean, some of it's values-based and some of it's not so sure.
Welcome to episode 10, The Road Back, Finding Grit on Your Hero's Journey. I'm Calvin, and I'm here in the studio with Shamash. And we're going to be exploring this. Shamash is excited to be talking about grit because, of course, we have a lot of interesting insights that we want to share. So what is the road back and finding grit? Well, we know that we're on this stage of the hero's journey, and we've just come out of the ordeal, haven't we, Shamash, where, you know, we've sort of woken up and had that moment of discovering this power.
Last episode, we were talking about hitting kind of rock bottom and how there can be some growth out of that. And I guess this is just coming out of that. So again, linking to movies like The Matrix and other stories, it's that sense of, you know, we've hit the rock, the dark night of soul. We've hit something really difficult and challenging in our lives. And this is moving on in life from the insights.
Yeah. Taking that power that we discovered from the ordeal that we had in the past when we went through that challenge, when we realized that we had this kind of aha moment, that waking up moment, that power that we realized resides in us, we now bring this back to the ordinary world. So if you remember earlier on, this feels like ages ago now, we talked about crossing the threshold, didn't we? And we talked about choice. Well, this is crossing the threshold back to the ordinary world. So we crossed the threshold into this challenge. And now we're going back, and that's why it's called The Road Back.
So in the hero's journey, we start from a certain kind of worldview about who we are, what the world is, how the world works. Then we get hit by a challenge. And so we can't manage to navigate through that challenge with that current worldview, that current world sense of who we are. And so that is that in a sense what this hero's journey is about? So we need to transform who we are as a person and to see ourselves in a different light. And we're coming out of that in this part of the journey.
Yeah, absolutely. And the interesting thing is the challenges aren't over yet, but we have, to use modern vernacular, leveled up. So we've leveled up. We have discovered, as you say, this new sort of version of ourselves. And we're going to now figure out how can we bring this on our hero's journey as it continues back to an ordinary world.
And so we're linking this idea with the idea of grit, what it means to have grit. And it's actually a psychological concept, and they kind of study and talk about it a lot in positive psychology. So we're really excited to talk to positive psychologist, Dr. Vicky Barnes. And she lays out for us what grit is all about, why it's important, and how we can find motivation and skills to start to develop that grit.
I love the term grit because it's one syllable. It feels quite meaty. It's gritty in itself, isn't it? And it's all about determination and just carrying on and having the impetus to keep going through it all, no matter what. So to me, that brings in lots of different things like passion and motivation and energy. And sometimes that energy can feel really difficult, but the grit is the energy that kind of just keeps you going. And I think that's most important when you do have those transformational moments or the initiation moment or the coming through the dark side. That's when it really comes into power and you really realize what grit you have. But I will say that if there are people listening and they're thinking, okay, well, I don't have grit because I struggle, it's not the case. You know, it's there all of the time, and most of us can utilize our grittiness when we're kind of doing okay. And when things go a bit wrong, we just get overwhelmed, and that grit's still there, but it kind of gets dampened by everything else that's going on. So again, I just always come back to the pause, stop, find out where you are, ask yourself a couple of questions that are self-soothing, or, you know, treat yourself really nicely for a couple of moments, and then work out what you're going to do. And grit can be tiny, you know, it doesn't have to be huge steps. So if you're looking to the top of a mountain, your grit's going to get you there. But the grit is also what gets you to that very next step that's just a tiny bit in front of you, right? So it doesn't have to be huge, momentous steps that you're taking to be gritty. You just have to be moving in a positive direction
Wow, such a rich set of insights there from Dr. Vicky Barnes about all the different aspects that contribute to grit and the idea that, you know, grit is not something that some people have and others don't. We all have that, but there's this idea that we can access it and start to use it in small ways. And I love the fact that she says, you know, because when I first think about this person has grit and this person doesn't, I always think of it as a really huge, challenging, difficult thing. And some people have got this amazing quality and others don't. And I love that grit can actually be developed in small, tiny steps. It doesn't have to be these huge leaps that she talks about. And that metaphor of the mountain, you know, you could see the mountain at the top of the mountain where you're going. But the really important thing is the next step that we take. And what's so overwhelming for so many of us when we do set our sights on something huge is that actually it just feels overwhelming. And so we turn away from that mountain.
Yeah, I love the part about it doesn't have to be huge steps. Really, we just have to take the next step, the very next step, as Dr. Vicky said. Because imagine you're running a marathon and you're just thinking, oh my God, I remember you were telling me something about that earlier. I can't finish, you know, when one of your friends was struggling at the end of the marathon. And so, actually, can we just take one more step? And for me, that really resonates. Yeah. Just focus on the next step. That's it.
I think after a while, we know these things. There's inside us, we know, but somehow we do need these kind of little reminders regularly. And so things like podcasts and books and videos and talking to mentors and stuff can really help to remind us of these things that we actually really know that are already inside us. And just thinking a little bit bigger in terms of the hero's journey, would you say that this transformation, this whole thing that takes place in the hero's journey, is it all an inside job in a way? Is that transformation already there within us and we just need to tap into that? Or do you think it's a new thing that we're developing, a new skill that we're growing in?
I think, you know, when we kicked off, we kind of agreed that we are all on the hero's journey of our lives and we always will be on the hero's journey of our lives. In our life, we are our own hero. And that journey is never ending in a way. The challenge just continues and you get a new challenge. So, yeah, I think that's always in us and it's always there. And we just really want to bring it to our consciousness. We want to become aware of it. We want to be mindful of it, right? So once we then bring that to awareness, then we can maybe be more intentional with the way we live the hero journey of our life. So I think let's hear what our social entrepreneur friend Kush Kanodia has to say about grit and how that showed up in his life.
So when I think of grit, for some reason, the first thing I thought of was like dirt. So like how many times can you fall and kind of hit the dirt, kind of fail, but get up and try again until you succeed? So that passion and perseverance and determination and having a disability gives great grit. You know, I gave the example of when I was a child and hips dislocating, going to school and going through all that pain and not adding emotional pain to physical pain. And generally, we don't determine the physical pain in our lives, but we do determine the emotional pain. So when you look at a scientist, when a scientist is making an experiment, generally, the methodology still is trial and error until scientists succeed. It's how many iterations they try. So in some element, it's grit and determination. And I believe the more times you try, the more likely it is for you to succeed. So sometimes when you're campaigning for systems change, for example, when we campaign for the Premier League, it took 10 years. So you could say every single day was a day of failure on that 10-year journey. So it took 10 years until you actually reached the success. The NHS England systems change was 2 years. Royal Borough of Kensington and Chelsea was 1 year. But what I tried to do is rather than thinking of it as a failure, I think tried to think of it as, you know, small wins in relation to the day. So what did I achieve in that day? So if I can think, okay, I achieved this in my day, so I'm so much closer to success. So then when I go to sleep again, then I try to achieve as much as I can achieve in that one day again. And I'm so much closer to success. And I keep doing that on a day-to-day basis. But by having like a positive mental attitude and having that fresh beginner's mindset each day, the truth is you're closer to success. Even if you fail and you try one outcome, then you try another outcome. then it's having that determination, that perseverance and that passion. And I believe that's, to me, that's true grit. You know, you keep trying until you succeed, even though it may be a very long journey. It may be very painful, that journey, and you don't know when you will succeed. I guess that's another complexity of creating systems change or overcoming challenges. You're not in determination of the time frame. It's something you just have to trust. It's like in Plum Village, they have that saying about watering the flowers. You don't know when the flower's going to sprout. You keep giving it the right environment, the right soil, the right water, sunshine. But it's nature that determines when the flower's going to sprout. And that's how I feel life is sometimes. The successes, you don't know when they're going to come. You just keep trying on a day-to-day basis. You keep nurturing and you have faith that it's going to happen eventually.
Again, another beautiful, rich sharing there from Kush, with all sorts of different things to explore when it comes to developing grit. One of the points that I really loved that he shared is about seeing failure in a different way, rather than focusing all the things that have gone wrong. As we're trying to create a big change in the world, or even some sort of change, it doesn't even have to be big, but some sort of transformation or change you want to make in your own life. The idea of, at the end of the day, just thinking about the small steps that you've taken, or at least the efforts that you've taken. Like today, if you're listening to this podcast, you're making a small step in the direction of the hero's journey, of your own journey or your client's journey, because you're listening to something new, something potentially interesting, some ideas to reflect on for yourself. So I really love that idea of focusing on the small wins, because we have this negative bias in our brains, it's so easy to end the day. And if we're not conscious, just focusing on all the things that went wrong rather than the tiny wins that are happening actually all the time, but we're not so awake to them.
Kush mentions beginner's mind, which we talk about in mindfulness as one of the key kind of attitudes, and that kind of curiosity that comes with the beginner's mind. You know, what is this? You know, have I seen this before? What is this all? With that kind of fresh gaze, I actually just, and it's kind of just unfolding in me right now, I wonder whether beginner's mind as an attitude itself, as an approach, is in itself powerful enough to help with grit without specifically trying to be gritty. If we have that kind of beginner's mind, whether that in itself is enough to get us to take that next step without the voice in the head going, oh, just take one more step, you know?
Yeah. So it becomes less of like a battle that I need to keep going, I need to keep fighting, and this sense of, hey, today's another day, it's a new day. What can I experiment with today? How can I be curious with the little steps that I take today? I wonder what will happen. I wonder what I'll discover. I wonder what will go wrong. I wonder what will go right. It's much lighter, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's linked to one of my favorite quotes. You know, in the expert's mind, there are very few possibilities. In the beginner's mind, there are many possibilities. So, and there's a sense of beautiful lightness. It's that sense of, rather than being hooked and holding on to all the different things you have to do, there's a sense of simplicity and lightness in it. It's like, let me give my attention in this moment to what's in front of me, and how can I best serve in this moment, and how can I navigate through it. So we also had the pleasure to talk to psychotherapist Mari Williams, and here's what she had to say about the topic of grit.
I actually use grit in the intro to my podcast. I'd say getting to the grit and the gold, through the grit into the gold. So for me, grit is that inner resilience. In some respects, I think when clients come to see me, they come for a huge myriad of reasons. And actually, almost always, the first thing we work on is self-worth. And for me, self-worth is grit. It's your, how am I going to survive this? How am I going to get through? I'm going to. But it's that, it's like, for me, grit is like that inner strength. And it's that inner bit of you that even when you might feel broken and be having those moments, it is there. So I always say to people, I think like we have this little version of ourselves that sits inside us, always knows what's right for us, is always calm, it's always able to make those decisions. And that's one thing I put clients into. I have, my vision is of me being about 8 years old, sitting reading a book, because that's like my happy space. And I say to people, find that person. That to me is the grit that everybody has. It's that kind of little mini version of yourself where you're like, this person, they've got it, they're chilled out, they're okay. That's me. And I think it often reminds me of Viktor Frankl's work, Man's Search for Meaning, And he talks, doesn't he, about how in the Holocaust camps, it was the people who were like, you can literally kill me, but you cannot change who I am. To me, that's the grit. It's that life can happen around me. I can be taken out of life, but you will not change who I am. This is my kind of life force, I guess. That's how I would see grit.
More inside Shamash from Mary there. And she even referenced something I think a lot of people identify with. And it's that ability to adapt, that kind of strength that comes. She mentions Viktor Frankl in Man's Search for Meaning, where I think what she was referencing was about when in his book, Man's Search for Meaning, he talks about us adapting as human beings. When the circumstances around us can't change, one's attitude in any given set of circumstances is still available to us. It's one of man's last freedoms, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if we can change our circumstances and make it a little bit easier for us to navigate through life and the relationships that we have, then do it. But I think what he said in that book and what many others say is that what if there's something that you can't change, then you just change your attitude to it. And in ACT, Acceptance Commitment Training, we talk about acceptance as being a particularly powerful attitude. But I think it's quite often misunderstood. It's not a passive giving up type of acceptance. It's a sense of creating inner space, being willing to have those feelings and thoughts come and go, but without trying to fight and change them.
Yeah.
And I think one of the misconceptions that we have is that we can control our feelings. We can control our thoughts. And it turns out the more you try to even stop a simple thought, like I'm a flying pink elephant, which always comes to mind for some reason, that thought is going to be stuck in your head for the rest of your life, the harder you try to get it out. And yet when you stop trying to get rid of it, it just passes by. And so, yeah, having that skill to be able to see what can we control, what can't we control, and what attitude can I bring to this particular challenge that I'm facing is really important.
The subtle difference between accepting and feeling resigned or acceptance versus resignation. That was really a powerful reminder for me too, because it's so easy to fall into the resignation and the shrugging your shoulders and going, oh, I can't do anything about it, so fine.
Yeah.
But that's very different from acceptance. I really appreciate that.
When it comes to the world of grit and trying to kind of change the world or trying to change something in your life, people don't often think about the value of the softness of kindfulness or acceptance or allowing or being with feelings. We think that we need to push them aside. If you feel like you're a failure, you know, push that feeling down. If you feel that you can't do it, then think positive thoughts. Don't think I can't do it. Think I can do it. And yet it's those very activities when you're pushing away those uncomfortable feelings, pushing away those so-called negative thoughts, that's what strengthens them. And then they can end up becoming overwhelming for us. So it turns out, I think, to cultivate grit, you need psychological flexibility. And for that flexibility, it's about creating this space for allowing those negative thoughts to come and go and flow through, seeing them as just thoughts, allowing the uncomfortable feelings of feeling of failure, the feeling of I'm not good enough, the feeling of sadness and anxiety, and pivoting from them, making space for them and knowing that as a human being, they're always going to come. And I don't often think of that when I think of grit. I think of as this kind of like a fight or as a battle, as if we have to have this inner battle of fighting our inner experiences. But what ACT is saying that we need to take a different approach and mindfulness and a lot of the spiritual traditions over thousands of years, we need to have this more light, flexible, open, adaptable approach and make space for these inner experiences and at the same time commit to our values as well.
Flexibility is a big word there, and I think that's probably stuff that we can expand on a little bit more, Shamash, in future episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear what Dr. Wendy Malefi, the mindful GP, has to say about grit.
I can't say a particular expert in grit as an ideology, if you like, but I guess I understand it as a word. And for me, it just means, I guess, some sense of tenacity, if you like. And if you have that mental tenacity and flexibility and agility, if you like, you can see challenge for whatever it is at that moment in time, and allow yourself to just deal with what you need to deal with at that moment in time. And in doing that, it enables you to transcend the challenge, if you like. There's a lot of discernment that comes out of that tenacity, that agility, that being able to see things for what they are. So that really enables you to rise above, yes, again, have that sort of metacognitive stance to what might feel like such something that is insurmountable in a sense. And out of that, I guess it is, if you could call the challenge or whatever the trauma that might have been induced by the challenge, there can be that growth or personal development or sense of equanimity, if you like. Being able to just have that sense of calm and contentment in the midst of it all.
Wonderful sharing there from Dr. Wendy Malefi. One of the words that stood out for me that she shared was the idea of equanimity. No one else has shared that when it comes to grit, the value of being equanimous, meeting our emotions and thoughts without getting too caught up with them, not getting too high if they're positive, not getting too low if they're negative. And I know that you've practiced this, I'm guessing, through the Vipassana meditation retreats that you've attended. I've done one of them, and I think you may have done more. Any thoughts or insights about that practice of cultivating equanimity and how that may translate to grit in your life?
Interestingly, Shamash, I think this shows up in so many different ways in our lives. When in mindfulness we talk about experiential avoidance or aversion, and then desire and clinging. So we're seeking out these experiences because they give us some sort of reward, whether it's dopamine in the body or whatever payoff we might be getting from it psychologically. Or we may be running from a painful experience, as you mentioned, running and fighting with experiences because we don't want them, aren't always good. So being equanimous is sitting in the middle of those two, right? We're no longer slaves to our spontaneous, impulsive reactions to either really run towards an experience we really want, which is like an addictive behavior, or rejecting something that we don't want because we fear experiencing that. So that equanimity, I think, is a beautiful way of sitting in the center, if you like, and yeah, being present too, because then we're no longer in the future, we're no longer in the past, we're in the now, and we can observe all of these things.
One of the thoughts that I was having as you were sharing that is how to link something like equanimity to grit and also to our values. And I think what grit is about having motivation. And our motivation to get through difficult times and difficult experiences. And that motivation can come from our values, what is important for us. And so once we have a value, let's say it's something like kindness. So you want to be kind to others, you want to be kind to yourself, and that's really important for you. And you're practicing that. Let's say you're teaching that. Let's say you're a school teacher, for example. You could have that determination there. That can give you the grit to get through all the difficulties and the challenges that come in the meantime. And practicing equanimity when things are going well, just knowing, okay, this too will pass. And when things are not going so well, also knowing that that will pass as well. And so that can give that sense of steady focus on your values and what's important to you and keep you going. And another word for that would be grit.
We spoke to Dr. Mehra Sharif, who we know is a medical doctor and also a coach and a clinical therapist. Let's hear what she has to say about grit and how she can expand on some of the concepts we've already been exploring.
I think grit is something that we're trying to grow from the moment that we're born. And it's everything that carries us forward in life. So it's everything from our identity to our resilience to our purpose to our values. It's that compassion, empathy that we grow over time. It's leading with our skills, having that self-awareness. It's having that inspiration, motivation to achieve our goals. It's being adaptable and flexible. It's being focused. It's being present. I could go on. It's pretty much everything. And I sometimes use, as you know, stories or metaphors or analogies to say what I think something means. And it could be something very basic, like wanting to learn to swim. So you go in and you have your swimming lessons and you persevere, and it's difficult at times. You're sinking, at times you're swimming, and at times you're succeeding. And you finally get that qualification and you're a good swimmer. So you take your skill and you take it to a swimming pool, you take it to a river, you take it to the ocean, you take it where you need to take it. You take all the equipment that you need for that journey and that swim that you're going to do. And you're going to enjoy it because you enjoy swimming and you're good at it and you're qualified to do it. And at times you'll be prepared for encountering some hardship in the water. Maybe the current's strong, maybe the tide is turning the other way, maybe the waves will be coming in. But there will be times where you get caught unaware. And when you get caught unaware, what do? It's having that knowledge that you can get past it. So whether you tread water, whether you swim with the tide, whether you swim against the tide, whether you call out for help, whether you need some more assistance, whether it's a lifeboat that comes to get you. And actually, sometimes you might need to clutch out straws, and it's having that confidence to reach out and take that straw when it's given to you. And then that belief that you will make it back to shore with everything that you've got. So your strength, your belief system, your support system. And you will, and you will make it to the shore, and then you'll swim another day.
Wow. Interestingly, what Dr. Mayrish shares there is that actually all sorts of different factors, all sorts of different things can come in to contribute towards our level of grit. And that makes sense, actually. When I first thought about grit, I thought, okay, it's a sense of determination or a sense of motivation. But actually, it requires all of our flexibility skills to come together. Everything from being able to make space for our difficult emotions, to be able to unhook from our thoughts, to being able to tune into an observer part of ourselves, a sense of clarity about where we want to go, and actually taking the action. So the whole psychological flexibility model comes into the fore there. So talking about psychological flexibility, we had the good fortune to talk to the originator of ACT, Dr. Stephen Hayes. And we were discussing about work and about values and how there's actually a balance that needs to be struck here. You can actually have too much grit in the sense of being too determined to go down the road of one particular action or one particular value, and that could be wrong. So I think there needs to be a balance here between having a sense of grit, but also being able to let go and focus in other areas.
That's this competence thing of we need to get more competent in how we put our values into our life's moments, right? And so, for example, I'm a freaking workaholic. I just am. You know, and I can have a heart for it, and I can kind of understand it, and some of it is good and some of it's not. I mean, some of it's values-based and some of it's not so sure. And so I do put little reminders there of trying to make sure that I spend a certain amount of time with my children or that I spend some, you know, play time. It isn't all just work time. Or if we're going on an international trip, let's say, and I'm bringing my family with me, that there's whole days scheduled where the organizers don't even know where I am. You know, and it's just tiny little things. I'm still not great at it. I can easily be hooked. If you say, well, why are you here? Would you give this colloquium? You know, I'm almost blurting out yes before I realized that's on the day that I promised I would not work. So I have to watch out. And I think we all have things like that. Yeah. So goals, yes. It took me 11 years to write this book. The last 5 years intensively, I had to work really hard. It was emotionally excruciating to write the book, as a matter of fact, because I promised myself if I were going to do it, I'd do it fully and honestly. So like I called every girlfriend. Oh, wow. Very little of it ended up in the book, except it's kind of in there and the felt sense that's in the book. And I asked them what it was like and what did I do wrong? How did I let them down? It was painful. That took some real goal setting. You know, over these next 2 weeks, I'm getting a draft of this, one of those 28 chapters. There's more on the cutting room floor than in the book by a factor of 2 to 3. It's a 400-page book. There's at least 1,000 pages on it.
Wow. Wow.
I have cardboard boxes filled with interviews with clients and stories about the community. And I felt badly about a lot of the cuts, as a matter of fact, because I wish I could tell all those stories, but then realized nobody would want to read that book. So it was quite a journey. So it meant most of those chapters were rewritten 4 or 5 times each.
Dr. Stephen Hayes shares with us a lot of richness in his story about his journey in publishing his book and having all of these untold stories in his drawer. However, he also really highlights the value of not pushing so hard, that sometimes we can stop, which is what we heard from Dr. Vicky earlier in the show about. Maybe we just need to stop and take a step back. And I think Stephen Hayes is saying the same thing here in another way, which is that there is a balance that ought to be struck. Grit doesn't necessarily mean pushing incessantly. It is a quality of perseverance and determination that exists inside of us, in our character, in the way we approach things, our values. But we must know when to push and when to stop. We must know when to go and when not to go. So I thought it was a really rich share, Shamash, and can't wait to hear what more Dr. Stephen Hayes has to share with us.
The whole episode's been fascinating for me to explore a bit more deeply what grit is, and I've been so grateful to you and our various specialists to share their insights. Some of the things that I've learned today is that grit is not one big thing that we need to develop, but actually we can do it in small steps and take tiny steps every day towards developing grit. There's lots of different factors that feed into our level of grit. Grit doesn't have to be very hard and harsh. There's a softness, there's an openness, there's an inner flexibility. Especially we need to have that for our thoughts and feelings to be able to develop grit. And maybe just one other final insight I want to share is that we need to be clear when it comes to grit about the difference between our values and our goals. And our value could be, let's say, sharing things or teaching something, for example. And there's many different ways of doing that. One form may be teaching a class, another one could be writing a book, another one could be just having a conversation with a friend. And so it's important to have grit for that underlying value rather than one specific goal. And so if it doesn't work out one way, we can take another route, just like a river when it makes its way down the mountain. If there's a big rock in the way, it doesn't try to push that rock away straight away. It naturally finds another route. And that sense of flexibility for me is what grit is also about. So that brings us to the end of this fascinating episode for me, for sure. Hopefully for you as the listener as well. And next week, check out, we're going to be talking about the next part of the hero's journey, which is about resurrection. We're going to be linking it to the idea of the transcendent self and also the idea of what post-traumatic growth is. So please, if you did listen to this and enjoyed it, then do leave us a comment on the platform that you're listening to. Also, we're celebrating today, Calvin. We've had over a thousand downloads of our new podcast. So very grateful. Thank you so much for listening and for sharing. That's really awesome. Thanks so much for listening once again. Have a wonderful week and see you next week for episode 11.
Bye for now.